What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jimmy, JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to MLS Box to Box on Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
So I left at 7:30, got here at 1 o'clock.
That's not bad.
That's good.
Yeah, 4.5 hours. And I had to stop to pee and fill up. So there was another. So really,
And fuck some roadkill.
That's what I did. That's not called wanking when you fuck roadkill.
No, you're right. It's not.
Because there is a somewhat of an organism there.
It's called necrobestial.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bestial.
It's like a Superman power, superpowers.
No.
Poor Dubs dying over there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Really super attractive, right?
Charms, you might have to use powder soon.
Who is that?
Really bright on you.
I know, I've got to figure this lighting out. It's kind of,
isn't it one of the ones
not,
with the...
Yeah, shiny.
No, I didn't mean shiny. It like he's...
It blasts me out.
He's kind of... Like that. Ivory already.
Put my light up higher.
And his Fidel Castro chic isn't helping.
Yeah. Alabaster. His alabaster skin is
like this. I like that better.
You need a little powder.
Yeah. Is it because I'm shiny or because I'm white?
Well,
you're not shiny.
You are very white.
You are very white, but it's the.
You look like you've been on a submarine for 6 months.
Yes.
I've got like a red little filter on my light. Which
try that.
No, it's on there now.
Oh.
I've actually got two of them on there, actually. Because I saw myself being so white, but it's just, I don't know. Make it
put some self-tanner on the red filter. See if that works.
Yeah.
I have to tell you guys, I was very upset about missing yesterday's show. It was really well done and funny. Yeah. And then I was just like, this is brilliant shit. It was really funny. Then I listened to CF Montreal and I listened to TFC. Got the whole gamut. I'm bringing her on.
All right.
Really?
All right. Yep. She's on. I'm going to put her in the
middle. Look at that. Kaylin, nice to see you.
Sorry, guys. I last minute trip. I'm at Arrowhead Stadium right now. So I'm like literally, we're just setting up for an interview. So I apologize. My flight was a little bit delayed. So
not a problem. Anytime. It's just great that you joined us. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Hey, Kaylin, James, we met like years and years ago.
I remember you. You don't need to introduce yourself. I know everyone very, very well. How is everyone? Everyone's good?
Yeah. Good.
Good.
Great. Thanks for doing this. All right, let's get to it. So first time we have a guest on Box to Box where she's actually sitting on the floor, cross-legged, but we'll take it. She's bossing MLS Season Pass on Apple these days, whether on 360 or the wrap-up show. Also, once upon a time, played 100 times or more for a country, Canada. It's Kaylin Kyle. Hey, Kaylin. Welcome to Box to Box.
Thanks for having me. Sorry, I'm a bit late. I'm a bit tardy. My flight was a bit delayed. So, Amy, I think you've texted me about 17 million times on WhatsApp. I'm terrible on my phone. So I apologize to you. I'm not being rude. I'm just trying to juggle motherhood, life, travel, and being a good wife, and I'm failing at all of them right now. So.
I get all that because I'm right there with you, but you just made me sound like a crazy person. I like maybe six texts.
Hey, I'm not that far.
Many.
Kaylin, just so you know, we wake up to 300 texts from Amy too.
So you know, so this you know, is normal. I'm not lying.
This is
we're with you on this one. Yeah, we know exactly what she's like.
Throwing her in the bus here, right from
would,
the get-go.
Would you say great? Was she being a pest? Is that a word that you
no,
use?
No, no, no. I was just being like the worst. Like, I don't like when I've like said I'm going to do something. Like yesterday, I did a podcast whilst I was getting my hair done at the salon because I'm like, I'm not rescheduling. And then I had got booked last minute to come here. I'm in Kansas City. This is why I'm sitting on the floor. I'm at the Chiefs Stadium right now to do some interviews. So I'm like, I'm not rescheduling. And then it was delayed. Time change threw me off a bit. So I did think I had like, and then I got the Amy text. You hopping on? And I'm like, shit. Yes, I'm hopping on. Give me
that is so funny you said that because I mentioned to the guys, this is like pre-Amy on Footy Prime. And it was Dunlop who was hosting. And I think you were getting a pedicure when you were on
probably.
The show.
Yeah, I multitask a lot. I got to get everything in my day. So,
oh, we appreciate you showing up. Thank you.
We do. Can't see actually James Sherman right now, and us. Well, I could, or any of us for that matter. But James was asking how he looked and whether he was washed out and white and pasty or shiny. And actually, you really look like shit now. I've just
I know. Can you move Kellen to a different box, like away from me a little bit? Because I look even whiter than ever right now.
Sharms looks like he needs a pint of blood.
Yeah. Well,
it's true.
All I have to say is you look better than Jimmy, so you're doing something.
Yes.
Yeah, you can always come back to this show, Kellen. Listen, before we get to MLS specifically, were you ever concerned about what you do in your retirement from playing? Because you seem pretty busy.
Yeah, no. I kind of always knew I wanted to get into TV. Oh, not kind of. I knew I always wanted to get into TV. I just didn't know when that was going to be. And my dad was, I think I've told the story 872 times, but my dad was an ice hockey player, hockey player. I call it ice hockey in America. I don't know why. I don't know why I do that. And he always like gave me the best advice. He was like, when you start falling out of love with the game or you just don't have that passion, he was like, walk away because then you'll not want to turn on the TV and watch games and, you know, watch the Euros and watch World Cups and cover the game. And I knew I wanted to cover the game. So, yeah, I retired really early and knew I wanted to get into TV. And I started off with TSN doing like a little like kind of tournament with them and kind of like blew up and took off. And I've learned from amazing people like all of you guys in the industry and, you know, getting told no for jobs to being like, no, I'm coming for the interview. Like, just have me for the interview. I won't disappoint you. So, yeah, it's been a pretty good ride. I can't complain so far.
It's not often that you get ex-players who actually become hosts and or interviewers, right? Often they're the pundits, right? And you do that. You do it really, really well. But you also do the hosting, the interviewing, which you're doing later today as well. Is there one part of the job that you do prefer?
Oh, my goodness. So I got this question the other week, and I honestly love it all. And I think because I've always been – like, Amy will back me up here. I've always been, like, sick in the head where I'm like, I want to be the best at everything. And I'm like – I knew I was never the best player, but I knew I was going to make the team because I would work harder than anyone. I would slide tackle anyone I had to. I didn't care if it was Amy, Christine Sinclair. I was like, I am making this team. So when I first came into it, I was just an analyst on a panel. No, I was actually a color or not color commentator, an analyst on commentating. And then I went on panel with BN Sports. And then I was like, I want to get into hosting. I can totally do this. And I'll bring maybe a different dynamic of it because I can test people. You know, I love going on a panel with guys. And when I know they're talking out their ass and I'm like, hold on a minute here. And so I can maybe ask them a tactical question. And it kind of maybe takes them back a little bit. So I love all of them. I do really love like sit down interviews that I'm just getting ready for here because as a former player and now, you know, being in the industry so long, meeting so many incredible people, playing with so many incredible people, I feel like I can bring out a different side, whether it's females, males, whatever it is, just to, you know, talk like they're as if they're talking to their best friend instead of those cookie cutter questions that you get at the end of the game. Like, how do you think you played? Well, you saw the game. We lost 2-1. So it was shit. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I do love it all. The hosting, it took me a while because I'm pretty sure I found out I'm dyslexic. I can't use teleprompter. Like, they're like, read this script. I'm like, no, I'm not using teleprompter. So that's taken me a little bit of time with Apple TV, just with like some stuff that I do need to use on prompter for some of their graphic reads or stuff with Apple are messy. And yeah, I've definitely self-diagnosed myself with either dyslexia or ADHD, one of the two, probably both, let's be honest.
Well, you hide it Sorry, Jimmy. Go ahead.
You love to take the piss. You got great banter. Who's one colleague that you always have to push his buttons because you know he falls for everything?
No, you know who me and Sasha are like, it's like an old married couple mixed with like an older annoying brother. And I love him. But like the first year, our bosses called us in to have a meeting to be like, are you guys like, are you okay? And we were like, what? And they were like, well, do you guys like each other? And me and Sasha were like, what? Like, we were just out for drinks last night with like our spouses and like everyone. We were like, yeah, like, why? Like, we didn't realize like our banter on TV was maybe like a bit too much. So yeah, I want to say we dialed it back. We definitely have. And it's just come out even more with now Kevin Egan being our host for MLS 360. But yeah, definitely Sash. B's just like really laid back, so cool, like whatever, like doesn't care. And then Kev's just really high energy. So it's been a really good mix this season, I'll say that.
Sounds like the banter between me and Jimmy, where sometimes people are like, are you guys okay? Like, yeah. do you need a minute? Do you need an intervention? But going back to kind of your brand of hosting and how you weave into it, your player's perspective, your astute analysis, you definitely put your fingerprint on the role and you do it really, really well. So it's great to see because you're just smashing it. But do you miss just the pure analysis? Because you've really got a football brain with a hefty dose of footy IQ. So just being able to devote yourself entirely to that, do you miss it?
Yeah. So, well, this season, so now I'm on MLS 360 and then I'll jump from like countdown or wrap up. So you do one of the two. So they brought in Kevin Egan just to be the solo host for MLS 360. So I'm an analyst on that. So that's so fun. And then if Liam's out sick or Kevin's out with his WWE, I'll jump into the hosting role or I'll host like midweek. They have a new show. It's called This is MLS. I jumped in this week. And then, yeah, I'm hosting some other stuff. I kind of do it all. I'm a hybrid. But on the weekend on Saturday, I'm an analyst, which has been really nice this year because last year I was a host slash analyst. And it was, I will say, it was probably one of the most difficult things because I'd be asking the guys questions as a host, but I'd be answering the question and they were like, cool, Kaylin, well, we have nothing to say. So like it has been really nice this year that I am just like an analyst on Saturdays unless one of the guys are out sick and then I'll jump in as a host. So yeah, that's been really cool. And then just being able to do like some of this stuff. And yeah, the other day they asked me, they're like, do you want to, like, if we need you, would you call games? I'm like, yeah, I would love that because we're not at stadiums anymore. So, yeah, I miss being at stadiums. I mean, I'm at the Kansas City Chiefs Stadium right now at Arrowhead, and it's obviously a football, American football, but I do miss seeing the grass and the stadium and the buzz off the fans. And you guys know the fans in Major League Soccer has changed so much. So the energy in the stadiums now is completely changed, and it's electric. It just makes, you know, your day fly by. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
I remember going back, really going to the days when Columbus Crew had the first stadium, the first soccer specific stadium, and everybody was just glowing over that stadium. And now when you look at it, the what's going on in the United States with these absolutely theaters of what they're building. And I look at over in Europe and, you know, even the championship in England, most of those grounds would love to have what they have in MLS now. You know, it's just, it's really incredible. But the transitioning from playing to doing the broadcasting side of things, don't you find that was a nice way to keep the umbilical cord connected to what you do? I did it certainly when I moved out of playing. And I know that you're always going to suit it because even when I was talking to John Herdman, he said, I asked him, I said, who on the team sort of understands the nuances of the game the best? And he mentioned you as understanding probably the game better than anybody else on the team. So that's some accolade from a pretty amazing guy.
Well, Carmelina Moscato was definitely number one, and I was maybe a close second. But you know Carm, she'll just over-talk you, over-say big words, and I'm like, Carm, come on now. No,
you two are the shit talkers.
No, she is. She's one of my best friends. I absolutely love her, and she's smashing it with Racing Louisville. But yeah, I think with John, like that was one thing. It was actually Jason DeBoz that put my name in at TSN and John Herdman, which, I mean, I had reached out, hadn't heard anything back, and it was those two guys that really had my back and said, just give her a shot, put her on like a game that you don't care, whatever, just get her in, you know, get her feet wet, allow her to make mistakes. She's a quick learner. She, you know, she's really passionate about this. She really wants to do it. So I owe my career to both of those people in TV. And then obviously when you work with people within the industry, as you guys know, you meet people along the way that really, you know, are interesting. Some of them want you to see you fail. But then I've really met some incredible human beings, like a Ray Hudson, like an Andres Cordero, Thomas Rongen, that, you know, they're all so different in their own ways. But I can still pick up the phone to be like, you know, I'm still not perfect. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'm still trying to, you know, get better at what I'm doing. And I think that's the best way. If you're willing to be vulnerable and, you know, willing to accept that, you know, you're not the best right yet. And right now I want to be at everything I do. But I love learning from people. I love listening. I mean, Kate Abdo with CBS, I listened to her broadcast to see her hosting style. Rebecca Lowe, just to see like, ooh, can I put that into mine? Like, I never want to change who I am. Some people like me, some people hate me, but I always want to stay true to Kaylin Kyle on a broadcast and being honest and being opinionated. And, you know, sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong. Like Toronto FC, I think I had him bottom of the East this season. So I got a nice text message off John Herdman about 2 weeks.
Early days yet, Kaylin, early days
yet. Yeah. I mean, Insigne injured Richie Larea, but yeah, no, it's... yeah, I'm really, really lucky to do what I do and then to be with Major League Soccer and Apple TV that, you know, they're trying to grow the game. They are growing the game. We're in over 100 countries. I mean, now my mom can tune in and watch, which is kind of annoying. She texts me. She's like, you're so great, sweetie. I'm like, I'm not 12, but thank you. You know, so it is really, really nice on that aspect. Hey,
if you can harness Thomas Rongen, then you can do anything, right? He's brilliant.
His broadcast, I don't know if I'd bring any of it into mine because I feel like I could be fired. But he's one of a kind. Like, he's genuinely the sweetest soul. He'd do anything for anyone. And he always kept you on your toes. Like, in broadcast, I was like, okay, I need to drive this ship so we do not sink. But, like, I don't know what's coming out of Thomas and Ray Hudson's mouth. So that was a really, really fun couple of years that I had with BN. And I owe a lot of my success to BN as well because they let me do everything. They were like, sure, you can host. Sure, you can be an analyst. Sure, you can call games. You want to be a pitch side reporter at El Clasico at the Bernabeu? Absolutely. And I'm like, huh? So, like, it was really sink or swim with that company. And, I'm really, really grateful for them as well.
And with Apple, I mean, it's beyond, like you said, it's beyond North America, right? It's global, this product. How's the reaction been globally? Hearing, you know, Americans, Canadians talking about their sport, so to speak.
I think it's huge because you look at the Copa, you look at the World Cup coming in our backyard in 2026, you look at these countries and these players. It's now, when I look at Major League Soccer, the biggest difference for me is it's not a retirement league anymore. You know, you have Lionel Messi coming in still his prime. He just came off a World Cup. Yeah, is he an older player? But he could have gone anywhere in Europe. You have Sergio Busquets. I was a little bit nervous. He's playing like old Busquets. Suarez, I was like, his knee in preseason, I was like, there is no way this man is going to be able to, you know, play in Major League Soccer. He's one of the top goal scorers now. Then you have Olivier Giroud coming off international break, scoring a goal and potentially signing with LAFC. Younger players are starting to see this trickle in. And so instead of maybe going to Europe and signing with these big clubs, they're choosing to come to MLS to develop, play with these top players, and then potentially go to Europe. So for me, I feel like when you look at Major League Soccer, they've done a really good job of expanding soccer-specific stadiums, implementing those rules and those structures, bringing in someone like Apple that now you can take it globally. But it means more people are tuning in because you have the Lionel Messis, you have the Sergio Busquets, you potentially, let's hope, have the Olivier Giroux, where they're like, oh, there's actually really good atmospheres at games. The soccer-specific stadiums are incredible. I saw something on Twitter, and it made me so angry. It was LAFC supporters, and it was some European that probably lives in his mom's basement was like, what is this? And I'm like, that's diversity. That's tons of different cultures coming together, supporting a team out in LA. And it's
Kaylin, it was Craig, just so you know.
Yeah, it was probably Craig. Yeah,
the traditionalist.
No, but I just think what Major League Soccer is doing and creating and, you know, the global impact that we're having is huge, specifically coming up these next 4 years, because there is so much football, that European football, world football, that will be played in our own backyard in North America, in Canada, Mexico, and the United States.
We were talking yesterday on the podcast about Opta's power rankings, and I don't know how much credence you want to give to it, or
I don't look at any of that crap.
Right. But I mean, they put MLS as 10th. in their top leagues worldwide. So do you think, like, all the reasons that you just listed about how MLS has come on, how it's evolved, do you think that allows it to still thrive and continue to gain a foothold worldwide in a post-Messi era? Because obviously you have to be looking sort of past, you know, that the time that Messi's going to be in this league, because it is going to be fleeting, I think.
Yeah. Well, I look at what David Beckham did, you know what I mean, with LA Galaxy, put it in his contract, I want a franchise. He could see where the growth of Major League Soccer was going and how the kind of the world works in mysterious ways. He then starts Inter Miami, doesn't have his main stadium yet, Freedom to Dream Park, that's right by the old or right by the airport. Signs Lionel Messi, gets a phone call. He was overseas and was like, Messi wants to come to you. Like, players like this are choosing to come to Major League Soccer because they see the growth. They see the way it's very different lifestyle. Like, Messi's literally pitch side with his kids at his academies. He's scoring goals and celebrating with his wife and kids pitch side. Like, you don't see that in other leagues. You don't see that in other countries. And I think that's really attractive for top players. I don't even know what question you just asked me, Amy. I'm kind of running around in a circle here, if I'm completely honest. But
it's a great answer.
Yeah. I'll bring it back to the fact is, like, I remember growing up with the Vancouver Whitecaps, training out at Burnaby. I was just going to say the Burnabout. That's not it. Burnaby. And training on those turf pitches and the growth that not only the women's game we're seeing in North America, not in Canada, we'll get, hopefully that'll come, but the growth that we are seeing, even with the Vancouver Whitecaps, Toronto, Montreal, the money that these organizations are putting in and signing these big players and coaches, it's just, I'm like, I know it's going to sound so sappy. It makes me emotional because I'm like, this is like, I didn't have this growing up. I looked up to Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, hockey players, because there wasn't soccer players that I knew. I didn't know about the Vancouver Whitecaps, the Montreal, I think, Impact back in the day, the Toronto FCs. I didn't have that. Like, we didn't have those games vividly on TV with TSN or Apple or Major League Soccer. We didn't have that. We didn't have women's players to look up to. So I just think it's really cool to be part of something so great like you guys. And, you know, to cover the game, I really, really feel lucky because I genuinely, when people are like, how's your job? I'm like, it's not a job. Like, I know that sounds so like I'm a loser to say that. Like, I wake up every morning and I'm like, I'm so lucky to do what I do. And like, my kids will be like, oh my God, mommy's on TV. And it's just like a proud, I'm just proud because it's like, I'm inspiring my boys that like women can do anything, but I'm also inspiring my boys, like they can do anything. If they want to be a soccer player, doctor, whatever. So it's, it's really cool.
Have you got a podcast, Kaylin?
No.
Good. Don't get one because we don't need the competition.
Okay. For starters,
number one. But you'd be great on a podcast, by the way. It's so different, obviously, to TV, for example. But yeah, listen, thank you so much for this. This has been a ton of fun. I know you've got an interview lined up momentarily. Yeah. Can you tell us who with?
Nope. You're going to have to wait. Tune in.
All right, then we're going to interview you. How are your feet?
What's that?
How are your feet? We have an OnlyFans site, and I want to know how your feet
Stop
are.
Stop it.
Oh. This wouldn't have happened had she not did her first podcast with us getting her feet done. And Jimmy is always trying to get us to go get a pedicure with him.
Men need to take care of their hands and feet. I think it's disgusting. I'm not a fit person. And my husband's feet are literally the grossest things in the world. Like, we went snowboarding the other day and somehow his toenail fell off. I'm like, how is his toenail falling off snow, like skiing?
That would be a tough bet then, because Jimmy's toes are just a disgrace.
Disgusting.
I'm the guy on the beach that's digging his toes in the sand so nobody can see them.
Wear socks, Jimmy.
On the beach?
Sock this bag over that head and you'll be great.
Are you in?
Wow. Yes, Kaylin.
I'm just kidding, Jimmy. I do love you. I do love you.
Yeah, I want to do a foot off. We need a picture
of both their feet.
Yeah.
No,
that's going to go on our website. Oh,
I have good feet. I do have good feet.
All right.
Well, you know, it's funny because Wunga's got the exact same pair of heels that you're wearing right now as well.
He looks great in them.
That's for later tonight at my new, I heard about this new bar called Chez Paris in Montreal.
In Montreal. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've got a dance. They said I got the pole at four in the morning.
Four.
Right. It's getting weird. I'm letting
it is. It's time to go. It's definitely time to go.
Well played.
Thanks, Kaylin. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for coming on.
All right.
Say hi to Travis Kelce.
I will.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
That is Kaylin Kyle. Wonga, you know, this is the first time a guest has had to leave because she felt uncomfortable. Well done.
Thank you. I appreciate that from all of you. I know what I bring to this table sometimes. I forget, but now I remember.
Yeah. We had actually Kaylin for another hour, but thanks, Wonga.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, somebody's calling me. I got to go.
But you know what? I mean, it's people like Kaylin and you too, Dubs, who are not just setting the standards for, you know, soccer broadcast, like women's soccer broadcasters, but soccer broadcasters, number one.
Soccer broads.
We used a podcast called that or something. That'd be a good idea. But we just need more of them. That's it, right? Mm-hmm. I was at a college doing a Q&A session for some reason this morning, and it's like a sports media class, about 30 kids in there. And there were just two girls out of the 30, right? And there's no reason why not, because you guys speak better than us. You need to probably do a better job, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Sorry to the rest of the male broadcasters out there. But
I actually found that the women broadcasters and analysts have a different level of what they see on the pitch, I'll be honest with you.
Because they're shorter?
Probably. Makes sense.
I don't know why. Stature-wise. Just their attention to detail seems to be much greater than most men can deal with.
Well, they have to, and Dubs, you can speak to this.
Because work harder for it.
Yeah, you got to, because you'll be called out, you'll be judged a lot harsher, right?
It's like me being half white.
Yeah, well, I think like what you've heard of, I won't say his name, but, you know, former players over in England and in Europe complaining about women's pundits and saying they shouldn't be on Premier League games because they've never played at that level, or shouldn't be commentating on a Champions League game because they've never done it, despite their own playing pedigree in a women's game. And Rian has spoken about this on a pod with us on Footy Prime, but then also on a broadcast, that the women's game is different from the men's game. And it's a slower tempo, and sometimes it allows you to appreciate the tactics in a different way. Does it mean that it's always translatable, or does it mean that a women's pundit is going to be your cup of tea? Just like I watch games, and sometimes I just don't like somebody because I don't like the cut of his jib, or I don't like a particular crutch that he has, or a turn of phrase, or whatever. And you don't vibe with that person. It's going to happen with a woman broadcaster as well. But unfortunately, to your point, Charms, there's so few of us that leads people to paint them all with the same brush, and you're not really given the same opportunity. So what Kaylin was talking about is visibility for the women's game, but then also in Canada, and how we need to get more franchises, more sort of normalize the professional game, and then get these young kids seeing it and seeing it as a viable opportunity, whether it's on the pitch or outside the pitch as a manager or as a member of brass or in broadcasting, and get more and more women in it. And then all of a sudden that room looks a little bit more balanced next time you go to the university Q&A.
Don't you think, Dubs, it's like a tsunami right now of women's attention or the sports and attention to it. With the Women's Hockey League and the investment with the LA Dodgers guy put in, I honestly believe, like, when you got that much money, if you're willing to lose even for like 10 years, he knows that those franchises are going to be worth millions of dollars.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of time. Mm-hmm. The women's NBA has been around for 25 years. I mean, they're showing strength. And you look at women's football, and you go back to our friend Billie Jean King and how slow and how she battled for, you know, decades, and it was just baby steps. But now it just seems to be just everybody's crushing it with the professional leagues and all sorts of different sports.
Mm-hmm. And in many ways, you're able to capitalize on not only that wave of momentum that you just mentioned, but you're able to learn from mistakes that past leagues have made that have been there for ages and are just part of the fabric of sport. You know, men's leagues also lost money early on. People forget about this, right? Oh, so yeah. It means that women's sports is going to be a charity thing. It's not a charitable thing. It's taking off, and the PWHL is proving that, as are other women's leagues across the world. So, you know, it's time to make room and to sharpen your elbows, because women's sports is here to stay.
I mean, the Premier League teams don't exactly make tons of money because they just spend it.
Right.
Yeah. But you look at the figures, the viewing figures over there for the Women's Super League, it's astronomically bigger than it was just 2 years ago. And the value of the player transfers is just going one way right now. It's interesting. I wonder, you know, there's a new independent regulator, government regulator in English football. It's going to come into effect very, very soon to oversee the way the games run in UK. I wonder how that will have an effect on women's soccer over there. Because right now the Premier League's, well, the Premier League's kind of got their claws into it for financial reasons, right? I'm curious how that will be affected by this independent regulator.
Is there, Dubs, is there a relationship between MLS and the National Women's?
NWSL.
NWSL, yeah. Is there, there's no relation?
No.
So MSL is following that full franchise approach like NFL. They're just
Marty St. Louis?
What's
MLS? MLS, sorry.
Why St. Louis the progressive man?
But it's following, MLS is following, sorry, I am dyslexic, just like Kaelin. But they're following the same, just like NFL. Here's a franchise. We don't have to give back unless it's good for us. On a visibility, marketing, they like that's when they'll start doing it. They won't do it because of the bottom line, which is, you know, now maybe they'll start because it is not only viable, but has an opportunity to flourish.
Yeah, and you're seeing franchises like San Diego Wave most recently sell for $163 million. You're seeing Angel City FC, who only came into the league in 2019, restructuring there and looking to perhaps sell. So now people are seeing it as opportunities to make money, not just to get into it because they have a daughter, you know, the old qualifiers or we need to do this to promote equity. It's actually, it could be generating income for these people who are interested as investors. But to your point though, about NWSL and comparing it to Major League Soccer, I think that they did make a mistake early on. And obviously hindsight is always 20/20, but a lot of these NWSL teams don't have academies. So like the pipeline for development and the pathway for development is a little bit unclear and is a little bit kind of piecemeal. So they probably could have done themselves some favors by making it sort of standardized across the league. And I think Rian talked about it again, saying her name a lot, but Rian Wilkinson, she's a sage person and somebody I look to for advice quite frequently just because of her breadth of knowledge. But she talked about, you know, academies, if they do happen to have it, or clubs that it might be associated with NWSL teams, there's no link there with these younger players and having them come on to the first team or vice versa to have ties to the first team. So it's pretty complex. And again, going back to maybe our original point that Forrest brought up, Project 8 and finally a domestic pro league in Canada, you have the opportunity now to learn from various leagues and their missteps. And then from when you kick off your inaugural year, you're hopefully putting yourself in good stead so that pathway to success is accelerated because you figured out all of those wrinkles early on.
Well, listen, we should wrap it up as Craig and I have a Vancouver Whitecaps 3 questions to record very, very shortly. So shall we move on? That was a really great chat with Kaelin. Second time she's on Footy Prime. There'll be a third, let's hope, and we'll find out where she's doing it from next time. It's been Arrowhead Stadium. It's been in the chair of a pediatrician. No. No. What are they called? Manicurist? Pedicure.
Pedophile.
Pedophile. Pedophile chair. She's been in a pedophile chair. Gynecologist.
There's not going to be a third time now.
No, there isn't. Apple, there's no way Apple will say, yeah, that's fine. You can go with those guys again. Yeah, Jesus.
Them MLS 360.
It's like the worst game of word association you've ever played.
I know. I'm tired. The words aren't flowing right now. But it's one of those things, right? Pedicure, pediatrics, pedophilia.
It's called a pedo cure. Yeah. It's spelled with a P-E-D-O cure. No.
I felt that I needed to change my clothes or do my hair or something because she always looks a million.
I know.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I wanted to like move away.
Yeah,
don't. From this well, not you. You ain't
fuck you. Oh, you're the one that's making fun of me and comparing me to her. Jesus.
That's true. Well, it's your filter. You have to work.
Well,
on
yeah,
filter.
You're so pasty white.
I know.
Jeez.
I'm going to Florida next week, so I'm going to get some red. Yeah, all right. We're back. Tomorrow, Christ, we just see each other. We're back tomorrow with the Facet 4 and news and Dubs. So it's Dubs, JC, and Wonga. Wonga, we have time to think of a question.
Yeah, of course. I'll do one right now. But it's right. actually it's actually Charms. It's really Charms. We asked this. We asked. It's Charms, Dubs, and Craig's turn, really.
Yeah, but that's kind of mixed week up, was... rather than having like three and three, and like mix it up.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I didn't know what you were just, moving for, but that's cool. Let's promote.
I mean, are you fine doing it? I mean, if you
of
want
course.
To.
Of course. I've got a few questions.
The supporters have given us one, so
we'll just cut this bit out, right?
No. Okay. This is how we... Our creative brainstorming is what brings people to the table.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
That our milkshake.
Your scoring system sucks.
Brings all the pedophiles to the yard.
Hey, listen. Downloads, okay? No matter who they are. They all look good on YouTube. All right. TonyBet.ca, FuboTV.com. They're our sponsors. Till next time, bye.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit WeAreFootyPrime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Who's to your right now?
Who? Me?
Who coughed at your house right after?
My mother. Yeah.
Who is your mom?
When you cough and then you drop the plate. Sorry. Then I put on mute and I'm like, Mom, do it after. She's like, oh, I sure will. And then she starts cleaning.
How about we just have your mom on the podcast?
Oh, can my
we?
God, yes.
Did you got a microphone?
if your mom, like, we just substitute you right out of here.
Yeah.
Like, with her accent, is you could just talk about
you
it.
You want me off the show and you want.
I'll blame you.
Yeah. See, your mom agrees.
Bring her on.
You would get smashed. That's for sure.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/FootyPrime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening and back to the show.